Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Well, good morning to you all. And belated Happy New Year to you. You know, here's an interesting fact. The start of 2025 means we're now closer to the year 2050 than the year 2000. It's interesting, isn't it? I don't know what that means, it's just interesting. Well, welcome to the second of our Summer Sunday series, looking at young David and the example of his life. Kids, there's some activity sheets down the front here if you want to come down and grab those anytime. You're welcome to do that. Last week, Peter Chase was with us and did a great job looking at David as shepherd. This morning, we're looking at David as warrior, and particularly this aspect of courage. And as you can see, yet another potentially misleading screen there. I think a couple of weeks ago I was the saviour, but this morning I'm the warrior apparently. But look, if we're going to talk about courage, we really need to talk about fear, which if we're honest is a key part of life for all of us. Consider for a moment, what is it that you fear? Have a think about it. What is it that you fear right now? Well, there are general fears, aren't there? So, for example, who this morning has a fear of spiders? Yeah, a few of you. I actually can't see that well, but quite a few have a fear of spiders. I think it's quite a reasonable fear. I have a fear of spiders. Some spiders are dangerous. Some spiders are going to kill you. But like a lot of fears, there's an irrational aspect to a fear of spiders, sometimes in relation to their size. This is just a trigger warning. I am about to show you a picture of a spider, so if you're going to be triggered by that, just look away from the screen right now. Considering David and Goliath... yes, I warned you. David and Goliath, this is a Goliath bird eater. We've actually released one of these into the auditorium this morning. No, we haven't. Kids, no, we haven't. No, we haven't. Not at all. I would be not in the room if we had done that. That's the worst thing I've ever seen. I would be emptying an entire can of Mortein onto that thing, I can tell you now. In fact, let's take that off the screen. Thanks, Ross. Some of you even now are feeling imaginary movement on your leg. What is that? Just gently touch the neck of the person in front of you. No, don't do that. Actually, recently we were coming home from a trip down south and I was filling my car with petrol. So I'm standing there at the petrol bowser and I look over and sitting on the top of the bowser was a black plastic spider. Quite realistic looking. Margie was in the shop. Yeah, wait for it. So I'm filling the car with petrol, and I looked at the spider, and I looked at the passenger seat where Maggie was going to be sitting, and I looked at the sun visor. And I thought, there's an opportunity here. Hilarious, I began to be amused by my own scheming. And so I picked up the spider. Margie doesn't know anything about this, by the way. She's hearing this for the first time this morning. I picked up the spider and put it in my pocket. And then I had another thought. Would Margie find this funny? So I prayed about it. And put the spider back onto the petrol bowser. Wisdom, that's why we've been married for 36 years, I can tell you. What do you fear? Well, obviously I fear my wife more than I fear spiders. What do you fear? Many people fear public speaking. Jerry Seinfeld famously said that for many people, their fear of public speaking is greater than their fear of death, which means at a funeral they'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. People fear failure. They fear what other people will think of them. They fear rejection. They fear the unknown. People have a fear of not having enough money. Maybe there are kids here this morning who fear going back to school, or maybe you fear starting at a new school. That's perfectly normal. These are kind of normal fears. You know, one of the most repeated commands in the Bible is do not fear. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous, the Lord said to Joshua and many others through the scriptures. Do not fear. It's often followed by, for I am with you. Do not fear, for the Lord your God is with you. Or this great scripture from 1 Corinthians 16, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be strong, be courageous. What an encouragement that is. So the story of David and Goliath is a story of the courage of a young boy. He's probably only about 14 or 15 years old. It's a very familiar, much loved Sunday school story, one of my granddaughter's favourites actually, which is interesting because it's actually very graphic, isn't it? Very violent, quite a gruesome, violent story, which on the surface might even be suggested it's not even appropriate for children. And yet somehow the story catches our imagination. Somehow the story encapsulates the battle of life and the importance, the necessity of facing one's fears with courage. 1 Samuel 17 is a long chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but let me set the scene for a couple of minutes before I read the short section. Saul and the Israelite army are up against the Philistines, who have presented them with their champion fighter, a guy by the name of Goliath. Now, if you were following the recent cricket test against India in Sydney, you would have seen that Tasmanian giant of a man. You've got a picture of him there. This is, look at the size of him. This is Bo Webster playing his first game. Now, this, to give you some context, this guy is 6'7" or 2 meters tall, towering above most of the other players. Goliath was closer to 3 meters tall. So add another meter onto Bo Webster, and you get a bit of an idea of the size of this guy. He was just huge. And so on the battlefield, Goliath would come forward in front of his army, and he's mocking the Israelites, challenging them to come up with a worthy opponent to fight him, one-on-one. That's how the story goes. Now, the reason David is on the scene is because he's the kid delivering refreshments to the troops. This is his job. He's literally delivering a cheese platter to the commander. You think I'm joking? It's right there in verse 18. 10 cheeses. 10 cheeses, according to verse 18. So quite a nice charcuterie board. He's got a camembert and a Jarlsberg, perhaps some manna crackers. He's got the, kind of the whole collection. Now, David hears the boastful mockings of Goliath, and he's incensed. And so he presents himself to Saul and says, hey, I've killed lions and bears defending my sheep in the field. I can take this guy out. I can take him. The Lord who rescued me from the lion and the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. So in the end, we know that Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Then, of course, Saul tries to give David his own armor, which is far too big. And so David ends up stripping all that off, and he heads out to face Goliath, armed only with his sling and 5 smooth stones, as we have on display here, a sling and 5 smooth stones, which I was tempted to have a go at this morning, but I thought, I prayed about it. I thought, no. Note to yourself, don't do that. Anyway, let's have a look at the reading for this morning. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Just block your ears, kids. This gets a bit gruesome here. This very day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. Again, unnecessarily gruesome, you might think, but there it is. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Amen. That must be the end. Wonderful story. Well, let me add to that story, just share with you this morning, very briefly, three keys to godly courage. And the first of these keys is what I've listed as divine insight. If we go back to 1 Samuel 16:13, we see that Samuel anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And the scripture says that from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. So, in other words, the courage David had to face Goliath came not from him somehow psyching himself up, not from positive thinking or some sort of motivational self-talk, you know, the sort of chest puffing and fist pumping bluster you might see in a footy change room where teammates are spurring on one another to greater courage. Come on, you know, we can do this, we can beat these guys. That sort of psyching one another up. That's not what's happening here. Rather, David is drawing from the well the resources of the Spirit of God who is within him, and by the way, who is also in you. If you are in Christ, you have a divine, bottomless well of the power of the Holy Spirit within you from which to draw life-giving courage. Part of the purpose of that well is to provide you with the courage you need to face the things that you most fear. Think of the disciples cowering in the shadows with the doors locked, fearing for their lives, and then they received the Holy Spirit. One of the most dramatic changes they saw and others saw in them was this transformation from fear to boldness. From fear to courage. Again, not something they somehow conjured up or G'd one another up with, but rather a direct result of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a powerful prayer. One I pray very regularly. I prayed it this morning fervently. Lord, would you fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit? Give me courage to face this next thing that I have to do, even this morning. Give me courage, Lord. Divine insight is the first key to courage. The second key is determined zeal. You see this so clearly in David's heart through the story. You know, David has a deep assurance of God's presence with him. He has a deep assurance of God's ability to accomplish what he knows he cannot accomplish without God's help. But he has this determined zeal. Amongst all the Israelites, he alone was the one who had the belief that Goliath could be defeated. And he was unwavering in his belief. Romans 12:11, never be lacking in zeal, Paul says to the Romans. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Or I love the Message translation of that. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame, says Peterson. Sounds like I'm contradicting my first point, but not at all. You know, with this posture of complete surrender, total dependence upon the Spirit of God, we understand that then there are also times when we need to act. We need to step out in courage. We need to do something. David had to take up his sling. He had to collect his stones. He had to take some action. Keep your spiritual fervor. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. In other words, we have a responsibility to maintain and keep alive those vital disciplines of prayer, of reading the Word, of prioritizing worship, disciplines that will heap coal on the fire of the Spirit of God in your heart. Amen. Do whatever you need to do to keep yourselves fueled and aflame, to keep your zeal. And keeping your spiritual fervor, keeping your zeal will also involve casting aside certain things that hinder, things that muddy the waters, the sin that so easily entangles, according to Hebrews chapter 12, so that we might then fix our eyes upon Jesus. This is key to keeping our zeal. David had determined zeal. His brother told him to get back in his box, go back to your sheep. He said, David, what are you even doing here? Deliver your cheese and get on your way. Even Saul initially said to him, you can't fight this guy. You're just a kid. Who do you think you are? But David wasn't put off by the discouraging comments of others. He resolved himself, he set his face, and he pressed on to what the Lord had called him to do. That's godly courage. David had a determined zeal. The third key to godly courage is dedicated faith. You know, David's little speech to Goliath here is one of the most famous and inspiring speeches in the scripture. It's kind of David's brave heart moment. You know, if you're familiar with that movie. He says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." And so in the face of the most dire circumstances, faced with his fear, when the chips are down and David is face to face with Goliath and the whole army of warriors behind Goliath, what does David do? He stands tall, he stares down the enemy, and he makes these incredibly bold statements. How does he do that, we might ask? Well, you'd have to say that David's courage is grounded in a deep underlying belief that God is able, that God is good, and that ultimately God is more powerful than whatever enemy confronts him or confronts you and me at any given point. God is more powerful. He is greater. He is good. He is able. David trusts in the goodness and the character and the power of God. He has this dedicated faith, this underlying sense of faith in God. The other morning, Margie and I had quite a long conversation about prayer. And at one point, she looked at me and she said, "Faith is difficult." I thought, yeah, it is. Faith is difficult. The journey of faith is a difficult journey. Prayer is difficult. And one of our problems is that we often define the success of our prayer by whether or not we get what we want. If I get what I want from the Lord, then my prayer has been successful or it's been heard. But you know, God has greater things in mind than just giving us what we want. He loves us. And so he wants to grow our faith. He wants to strengthen our character. He wants to develop in us the capacity to deal with greater responsibility, to deal with greater things. And if you're a good parent, that's what you also want for your kids. It's a weak parent who gives their kids whatever they want. And note to self, it's a weak grandparent. Seriously. Who gives their grandchildren whatever they want. Why? Because that's just going to breed entitlement. That's what happens. We breed entitlement in our children and in our grandchildren when our role as parents and as grandparents is to build character. And this is what the Lord is doing in our lives. David, as a young shepherd boy, may well have prayed, Lord, take away the lions and the bears. Make my life easier. Lord, take away these things that are making my life difficult. Well, that's an understandable prayer, and God hears those prayers. But let's understand together that that is a prayer of immaturity. A far better prayer is, Lord, help me to face these difficult circumstances with faith. Help me to face this next challenge ahead of me with courage. That's a prayer. In God's grand master plan for David's life, the purpose of the lions and the bears in his shepherding days was actually to prepare him for Goliath, to build into his character the courage that he would need for this encounter. If God had taken away the lions and the bears, David would not have had the courage to face Goliath. He would not have been equipped, actually. You have an enemy who wants to take you out, wants to discourage you and to convince you to walk away from God. And you have a God who wants to strengthen your arm, who wants to encourage you, who wants to help you to persevere. Put your faith in Him. Draw your courage from Him. You know, the enemy will come at you with one strategy, and if that doesn't work, he'll try something else. David fought off the lions and the bears, which gave him the strength to fight off Goliath. So then the enemy, over time, sent Bathsheba. Interesting, isn't it? Who proved to be a far more formidable enemy in one sense. Became part of David's undoing, having defeated lions and bears and giants. Keith Farmer is a guy who mentored me for many years. He used to regularly ask me this question. If the enemy were going to take you out, what strategy would he use that might be successful? It's a great question. That's a great question. If the enemy were going to take you out, what strategy would he use that might be successful? Discouragement? Sexual temptation? Failure? A health scare? What is it that you fear? What is your Goliath? What's the Goliath? What's the giant that's staring you down even right now? Well, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. And be strong. Let's just bow in prayer for a moment and encourage you just to reflect on those questions. And why don't you just take a moment to talk to the Lord about those things in your own life.
Thank you.
course, the greatest example of courage we have in the scripture is Jesus himself, who in the garden prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." As we come to a time of communion, let me read these familiar verses to you as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." May we have courage today. May we not grow weary. May we not lose heart. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took a cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me." Let me encourage you in your own time, just bow in prayer. If you're a follower of Jesus today, you're very welcome to participate in this part of our service. If you're a visitor and you're not a believer, you're not a follower of Jesus, but we're glad you're here. Probably better if you don't participate in the elements this morning. But wherever you are, just take a moment just to bow in prayer. Bring the Lord your fears. Ask him for courage. Ask him to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit. And then just share in the elements when you're ready. Let's do that now. Father, we pray that you would give us courage as we go from here this morning. You would grant us, Lord, we pray, divine insight. That you would give us determined zeal. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, a dedicated faith. Lord, we pray that you'd give us insight into those lions and bears in our lives that, whilst we would want to pray that they would disappear, are there to strengthen us in character, to teach us to be courageous and to look to you in the face of things rather than running from things or praying that they'll go away. And so, Lord, teach us even this morning through your word and through the circumstances of life. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to be our guide, our teacher, that you would help us to draw from that eternal well of courage-giving water, life-giving water, that we would have courage to face the things that we most fear. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.